What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, starting today, your ticket to a sporting event across the street over there at Crypto.com Arena could come with a COVID-19 vaccine booster and a flu shot, if you want, of course. The LA County Department of Public Health announced the new partnership with the Lakers, Clippers, and the Kings earlier this week to bring a pop-up vaccination clinic to the arena during home games. So anyone with a ticket, as well as arena staff, will be eligible for a COVID-19 booster shot as well as a flu shot. The clinic started tonight before the Clippers-Pistons game, and they're going to continue through the end of the year. Vaccines will be distributed starting when doors open and continue until 30 minutes after the game. The pop-up clinic will be set up near Blaze Pizza on the main concourse near the 11th Street entrance. So if you want to get a flu shot and your COVID booster, all you got to do is do it before the game.
I don't know.
Making it nice and easy for you, Cappy.
I know, but the thing is, I'll tell you guys, and you guys tell me where you are, I haven't gotten, I got the first two COVID shots, and then I got the first booster, and I haven't gotten boosted since. So what number booster are we on? Are we on 4, 5? Where are we at?
This is 4, I believe, and I got it because this one is the Omicron BA.4/5. So I got
that's
one.
I mean, they have two.
I am also on the road every week, so I figured, you know, I might as well just get it.
I'm with you.
And let me tell you something. I haven't gotten it since, knock on wood.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that booster, and I don't think I've gotten a flu shot this year. I don't think.
I'm out on the flu shot.
Oh, I got a flu shot. I get one every year.
I normally do too. No, you know, I get sick on a flu shot. You know what else? Mm-hmm. I got a shot for shingles because my doctor said you don't want to get shingles, and I'm like, what's shingles?
You're in that age, bro.
You got to take that.
He's like, so I took
That's
the first.
Thing.
I took the first shingles shot. And then apparently you're supposed to take a second shingle shot. And
yeah,
I haven't gotten the second shingle shot.
Oh, you need to.
But I want to get it because I don't want. But here's the thing: when I took the shingle shot, I was in bad shape.
So my friend, I have two friends that are younger than I am actually, and they've both gotten shingles. And apparently it's like a new thing for people that are younger to start getting it.
They say at 50 you definitely should get the shingles.
Yeah. Well, I got one half.
Listen, I have two friends, one who was under 50 and one who was over 50 who got it, and they were both miserable.
Yep. I don't want it.
Yeah, so
nobody
get the shot.
Does.
So I'm halfway there. I know I got to go see my doctor and get the second half of it.
Yeah. By the way, Laura started the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust community on Discord. I'm already in there.
Oh, cool. Does it works and stuff? Cool.
Yeah. It worked.
I will put that
You can
on
put the link
Twitter.
In the community. Yeah. And that way, it's basically like our safe place, just in
I've
case.
I've just accepted the invite as well. It's the only thing I got going on Discord.
It's like a bunker. You know what I mean? Like, we can just kind of go there for now. You know?
I have tweeted it right now. So there it is.
So I have a problem with my Discord. Because I've been getting, you know when like someone tries to like hack into one of your accounts and you get like 50 million emails that are like, somebody tried logging into your Discord account and like, Saudi Arabia. Like, I literally get those every day for the past couple weeks where I get like 20 or 30 of them at 1 in the morning of somebody constantly trying to sign into my Discord account. And so I changed my password and now I'm like Cappy. Now I don't know my password and I can't reset it.
Well, just do, I had to, because I had it for school. So I had my email address from school, from Cal Poly. So I just logged out of that and registered my email address or whatever. So, because then it says, I was worried because it says, do you want your contacts? I'm like, no, nobody needs to have our numbers.
That's
whatever.
What I said. Yeah.
But you don't need that. So,
but you have to see what's going on right now, because our whole now Discord community is blowing up, and it means, and my phone is, I put the push notifications on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can turn that off, bro.
Oh, dude, you guys have no idea. So the other day I had, do you guys use Telegram? Does anybody here use Telegram?
I mean, I have it, but I don't really use it.
Yeah,
So somehow on my Telegram, I only speak to one guy in London on Telegram. It's the only person I talk to. but there's like a cryptocurrency group that got, and I somehow, I don't know how I was in it, and bing, 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 my phone nonstop. So for me to have to go in and like go to settings, go to the app, find out how to turn off the notifications, like that's a whole job for somebody like me.
I mean, Discord is a lot, because if you notice on the site, it has a welcome and rules. It has announcements, resources, general, meeting plans. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, you can create a bunch of little sub-channels, you know?
I'm turning off the notifications.
It's like Reddit, but cooler.
I feel like it's going to be difficult for you to navigate, Cap.
That's true.
Only because, like, I did at first, like I said, I joined it for Pokemon Go, because, like, people would use it, and, like, so they could team up and do raids and stuff. And so I use it for that, and I found it at first. It was a little bit weird to get the hang of it.
Yeah, I don't have the bandwidth to deal with something new like this.
I feel like it might be too much for
you. It is a lot. It is a lot. We can, you know, workshop it. Like Sedano said, it is a backup.
We're just beta testing it.
I just turned off the notifications, though. I'm not going to have another thing on my phone just constantly be binging my phone here.
Hey, maybe Jack Dorsey will go ahead with his new app. I forget what it's even called.
Yeah, like Sky Mastodon. Something? Blue Sky?
Blue Sky, yeah. And then there's Mastodon. There's like a whole bunch of them. So maybe we'll end up somewhere else, Cappy. You never know.
Yeah, but it's just, it's like Discord can be our bunker.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a safe place.
Just in case. People at the end of the world.
Mason said that he just tweeted or texted us, shingles shot is a B. I got both of them, was down for a day both times.
So. Well, it's better than getting shingles.
I would agree.
That's true.
I know somebody who had it, and he's a little bit older, and he had it for like a month.
By the way, how soon before Mason Ireland try to do a Discord?
They already started it. Somewhere. They're like, Briones, get on it. No,
I think
Greg.
It's too much for them. Yeah.
No, they'll have Greg do it. Yeah, Greg. Like, another thing? I got to do another thing? Well, they got that Greg Tyler, who's like Greg 2.0 over there now.
Who is this
dude,
new Tyler?
Dude, Tyler looks just like Greg. I literally thought it was like his little brother or something.
I saw the picture in his email that he just sent out.
Yeah, who is this new Tyler guy?
He's a new producer.
I know. He sent me a message earlier today. He's like, hey, it's Tyler. You want to come on Game of Games? And it's like a setup for you're not going to know any of this. I got skunked.
Oh, yeah. He's like a shadowing Greg now because he's producing Bet LA with Anita Marks.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
really?
Like
Greg
Dr.
2.0.
Clapper. Yeah.
All right. Good kid.
He's cool. Cool kid.
Yeah. There you go. All right, that is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right. Time for the 6 o'clock reset. Cappy, we're going to do, you know, a handful of topics here. You know, 3, 4, 5, whatever we want to do on a given day. Big topics of the day. You and I go back and forth. Boom, boom, boom. Very quickly. Okay. Give the people, they're getting in their car for the 6 o'clock hour, what they need, how to catch up. They've been at work late. It's dark outside. They're kind of dealing with traffic on the 110 or the 710 or the 405 or you name it. They're dealing with it. The 5 with the 10, you name it. So we got to help the people. So Lindsay, go. What do we got?
All right, first one here. Ticketmaster has canceled the Taylor Swift ticket sale for the public after the debacle with the presale. Sedano, you go first.
This thing is a disaster. I told you, Ticketmaster, you shady AF, okay? I feel like this whole thing with Ticketmaster, they need to do a better job of figuring out how to get these tickets out to people that aren't robots or secondary market people.
Do better. Hey, listen, all I know is this. Taylor Swift, what is it, 3 shows, 5 shows at SoFi Stadium? And I didn't go in and do any of the pre-sale stuff. And apparently management at 710 is not giving me the suite, so I got problems.
Yeah, you don't deserve the suite, to be honest with you.
What do you mean not don't deserve?
I mean, you're going to use that for people who actually spend money on the station. So,
Well,
you cost them money.
I help make them money.
Eh.
What do you mean, eh?
Adjacent.
Non-stop. Stop that.
Adjacent.
No, you're wrong. Wrong.
All right. You know who makes
Where's
a lot of
Where's my sound effect, Laura? Wrong.
You know who makes a lot of money? What's next, Lindsay?
All right. Kawhi Leonard is on the verge of returning for the Clippers. But is he going to be the same? Cappy, you go first here.
I don't think so. I mean, if I thought that LeBron James was going to continue to be who LeBron James was, why, if I'm watching LeBron's decline, why would I believe that Kawhi Leonard would come back from this kind of an injury and be as good as he once was? So I've heard about all of his workouts, but I'm not buying it. I don't think he's going to be as good.
Well, I think the biggest difference there is Kawhi is a lot younger than LeBron. He's only 31 years old. But to your point, I remember Ramona Shelburne reporting this a long time ago when he left San Antonio, that injury was a degenerative injury in his quad and that he would always have to deal with it and manage it. And he'd never really probably play a full season again. But I think it's great for basketball when we have all the stars out there. So I'm hopeful to see him out there. What's next, Linz?
All right, well, Matthew Stafford is expected to return for Sunday's Rams-Saints game, which, you know, it's great coming back from concussion protocol, but nobody really knows who exactly he's going to throw the ball to. Sedano, you go first.
I heard DeMarco say this during Crosstalk today because he was in for Sliwa. I wouldn't put Matthew Stafford out there. Dude, they're down to like third and fourth stringers, I think, on this offensive line outside of like one or two positions. Like, he can't get out of the way. Like, you're just going, this is going to be bad for him. And sometimes you got to stop guys from hurting themselves in this situation or, you know, take their best interest physically, and in this case, mentally even, at hand.
No chance Matthew Stafford would not play. I mean, if he can play, if he can clear concussion protocol, regardless of offensive line, regardless of who's available to catch passes, Matthew Stafford has always been a tough guy, and he's going to play.
All right, what's next, Linz?
All right, Sunday's Browns-Bills game has been moved to Detroit due to concerns about the weather because there's apparently a huge snowstorm coming up. Cappy?
Surprised. I mean, I just got to say surprised. I know there is precedent for moving games, but it's Buffalo, New York. That's what they're expecting. They get lots of snow. They're right by some, you know, area where there's a lot of snow that comes in.
Nor'easters, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that's Buffalo, New York. I'm just surprised that of all places to move a game because of snow, it's Buffalo.
I mean, it's happened before, actually, in Buffalo. It happened in 2014. They relocated to Ford Field for a Monday night game because it was declared a state of emergency in Buffalo.
I know. It's crazy, man. I know. I remember in San Diego one time when there were wildfires, they moved a game from San Diego to Arizona. And I can remember, obviously, the Mexico City game that was moved back to the Coliseum. The game was a play between the Rams and the Chiefs, one of the all-time great regular season games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, games do get moved, but it's rare. And snow in Buffalo. What'd you expect?
Yeah. All right, that is the 6 o'clock reset. Coming up next. Oh, I got to do Tequila Mandala. Oh, I got to talk about them. You know I love talking about them. All right, coming up next. Cappy, you and I have to talk about a couple of things, including...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, that's your kind of movie, Cappy.
I love Goodfellas. One of my all-time favorites. He's a good fella. He's just like us.
Dude. This game has been terrible. This Fat Jack was right about this, the under in this game, in this Tennessee-Green Bay game.
Poor Al, once again.
Uncle Al. Yeah, but whatever.
On paper, this one looked good, though. Like, if you would have told me in September, Titans, Green Bay in Lambeau, I would be like, oh, wow, that's a good one in November.
But you know what Fat Jack said earlier, which was right on? It's that when Green Bay has a huge comeback against Dallas, like they did last week, forget about the organizational history of the Cowboys and how they've never given up a two-score lead in the fourth quarter, whatever. Green Bay wins that game and they have a big dramatic comeback. Same thing with Tampa Bay. They beat Seattle, who not everybody really believes in. They beat the Rams the week before, which everybody thinks is not really a big deal. You win two games back-to-back, and everybody's like, they're back. And that's the same thing with Green Bay. They're back. Are they? I don't know yet.
I think the question this week was, if they win this game, are they back?
Well, right now, Aaron Rodgers just looked like he threw a ball away to try and avoid getting smacked. Like, dude, he was like turning his body and like wasn't even seeing where he was throwing the ball because he was about to get run over. 7-6 in the second quarter.
I traded for Derrick Henry in my fantasy league, and he's had like a terrible week last week, and he's got nothing going right now, only 45 yards. Let's go, Derrick Henry. Come on.
Do better.
I traded a second-round pick next year for you.
Next year?
Yeah. I'm in this, F them picks. I've been in this league for like 20 years.
F them picks.
Yeah. You got to go for it when you got, you know, but I feel like this one's going to blow up on me.
Really? So you're going all in on this season, huh?
I've got a good team, and I've had some injuries, but I had, I'm in first place, you know, in my division at least.
Oh, so. And you got to go for it. You got to go for the win.
Yeah, those windows are never as big as you think, you know.
So. I do.
Oh, actually, I just fell into second place because of my loss last week. But anyway, wow. Nonetheless, wow. Still there. Still in the playoff picture.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Woods, I forgot he plays for the Titans.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because I'll bet you the Rams would be like, wow, that'd be a guy we'd really like to have had right about now.
Instead of
Robert
trading
Woods.
Him for a 6th-round pick?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was?
Well, and if you're Les Snead and you're listening right now, you're like, hey, smart guy. He was coming off a major knee injury, and we had no idea what he would be when he would come back. I'm like, yeah, but Les, you know that there are certain guys that are heart and soul guys, and those are guys you got to have. And Robert Woods was one of those guys.
Heart and soul.
Nice job. You're hitting a lot of high notes recently. You're doing good. So anyway, you were going to talk about Kevin Durant.
Did you see me? Speaking of Kevin Durant, did you see me talk to his former coach in a little walk and talk yesterday?
I did not, but I saw people in the community saying, hey, Sedano, nice job with the walking interview. Now, is that because I think I saw it in the earlier game also.
Well, I think I don't know if they did it in the earlier game because I wasn't watching because I was at the arena. But Lisa Salters was the sideline reporter in that game.
Yeah, I saw her doing a walk and talk also with somebody. So is that like a new thing? Like, hey, we think this is cool. It'll be good in motion because I like it better than just standing there static.
Do you want a secret?
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, it's at halftime, which is a lot more stuff to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Than the first quarter. You know what I mean? Like, come on. You know, like I've never been a fan of the first quarter interview, but what are you going to do? You got to get some other access. So it's a halftime interview, which obviously gives you a little more meat on the bone there. Mm-hmm. And secondly, if the coaches do the walk and talk, I've heard, I haven't confirmed this. I think Steve Kerr, he said it, but I don't know if he was joking or not. He might have been joking that they get like a couple of those coaches interviews off on the national televised broadcast. They get a little trade off. Like I do one, you take away like one or two, you know what I mean? Or something like that. You know,
it's great that the coaches are actually required to do it.
Yeah.
There have been so many games in the NFL that I was broadcasting where it was like, hey, the coach, we talked about it. Coach knows coming out at half, we're going to talk, and then they shine you. They're going to
Amazon stole it from the NBA, and then Sunday Night Football stole it from Amazon.
Yeah. I mean, I was at a game a couple years ago, and I don't remember the girl's name. She was the TV reporter. I was doing the Westwood One radio, and she was standing there waiting for McCoy or whoever the coach was at the time, I'm trying to remember, and he went running right by her, and she was standing there with her microphone like, he didn't stop. He was supposed to stop and talk to me. And I was like, that was such a jerk move. You know, team's getting beat, so they don't want to talk. I like the way the NBA requires the coaches to do it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, that was a David Stern thing. So the story goes, and I'll get to the Durant thing here in a second. The story basically goes that when the coaches, like he did it in like a coaches meeting or something like that, like with the whole league. And, you know, like Phil Jackson and Pat Riley and all these guys, this is a way long time ago, right? Are still all in the league. And apparently the guy that stood up to like moan and, you know, because there's always one guy that's going to be like people do it under their breath and kind of roll their eyes or whatever. But there's that one guy who thinks like, you know, I'm going to set the tone here, right? And with Stern, it's just different, dude. That guy would just, you know, I mean, you know, infamously, we all know what he did to Jim Rome on his show, right? Like, we all know that story. So, he didn't care. He gave zero bleeps. May he rest in peace. RIP, another RIP, David Stern.
There's four.
And Scott Skiles, okay? Remember Scott Skiles?
I remember. Was he coach of Orlando, maybe?
Coached Orlando and the Chicago Bulls, was a player for Orlando, played with Shaq.
Yeah.
In those first couple years before Penny got there. And he stood up. It was like, this is an infringement upon us and our coach and stuff. Because he was saying that not only doing the coaches' interviews, but you're doing they're going to have cameras in the locker room while guys are walking around or whatever and just have access, right? And, you know, this was before anybody was doing that stuff. Like, baseball now does, like, guys in the outfield, as we've talked about, or in the field.
In-game interviews. You're in the game.
Right. It's crazy. It's awesome. Good for them. But back then, nobody was doing this stuff. So, and then Stern just kind of looks at him and says, well, Scott, considering our league partners are paying us whatever it was, $8 billion or whatever the hell the number was, right? He's like, you're going to do it. It was just like that. Right. And he goes, and if you don't like it, then you don't have to coach in this league. Like something to that effect.
Love it. By the way, are you Phil Jackson? Did I miss something? Are you Greg Popovich? You're Scott Skiles. So please sit down. Be quiet. Thank you.
Yeah. And even those guys knew not to say anything.
Skiles.
Yeah. So Kevin Durant, he was asked about like the loss in Sacramento, which they got blown out of the water on Tuesday night. I was watching it on TNT for a while. And he was asked after the game, like, yo, like, what's going on? He's like, man, do you see the starting lineup we have out there? Like, what do you expect from this group?
What a jerk. What a freaking
jerk.
But
it's true. He's not wrong.
Better. He continued to name off his teammates.
Right.
Specifically.
Edward Sumner. Right. Like
Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, Claxton, and me.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah.
No disrespect, but what do you expect out of those guys? I love how he gives like the no disrespect caveat.
No disrespect, you know. It's like, hey, here's the thing, dude. Guys like me, we look at guys like LeBron James and Kevin Durant, and we have this perception. It may not be reality, but it is our perception that you are one of the top 3, 4, 5 players on planet Earth, and just you alone should elevate everybody around you so that you should be beating the Sacramento Kings, as an example. But the Sacramento Kings don't like being everybody's punching bag, number one. And number two, it just goes to prove that Kevin Durant or LeBron James, they need other guys. Even though guys like me, like I said, had a perception that they don't, they do, because it's still a team game.
Of course they do. I mean, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh lost in 6 games to the Dallas Mavericks. Like, that didn't prove it to you?
Yeah, I don't think I was watching back then, George.
In 2010, you're the only person in America that wasn't watching that finals as America was rooting against LeBron James?
All right, I'm exaggerating. My point is that guys like them who are super talent, I mean, like outrageous talents, they are not able to by themselves win ball games.
Right. Shaq talks about it all the time. When you talk to him about those championships with him and Kobe, he always says, we couldn't have done it without Derek Fisher and Rick Fox and
Ben. Hey, Chuck.
Oh, jeez.
Chuck, D-Fish. D-Fish was a big part of that team, Chuck. You ain't
Grandpa,
got nothing about, nothing about the championships,
yeah.
Chuck.
Yeah.
So now you're going to do a Shaq too, huh?
Well, mine is at least sounds more like
your
Shaq.
Shaq
sounds like
sucks
his grandfather.
Compared to mine. Mine is awesome.
Grandfather O'Neal.
My Shaq
O'Neal
is awesome.
There.
Your Shaq stinks. My Shaq is phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Hey, Chuck, when you win a championship, you ain't know nothing about no winning no championship. When you win a championship, you got to role play like a deep fish.
That's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good. You don't think so? Not pretty damn good?
So you don't like the KD thing? Like, I think he's
no,
being
I love
honest
it.
At least.
I
By the
hilarious.
Way, it wasn't even – the full quote is actually to Lindsey's point. He mentions all the guys' names. And then he says, you expect us to win because I'm out there? So if you're watching from that lens, you're expecting us to play well because number 7 is out there. I'm really having a good time. I wish y'all could hear me talk during the game. If I got mic'd up more, people would stop asking me if I'm happy or not. I'm enjoying every moment I get to step on the bleeping court. And part of it is because I tore my Achilles and the pandemic. And I didn't know if I was ever going to play again. I didn't know if I was ever going to play again at all. That's the full quote. But, of course, the first part is the part that gets all
I mean,
the run.
You just don't hear guys do this, right? I mean, you don't hear LeBron. Hey, LeBron.
I mean, he did say he didn't go that far. But
right,
he did say
we don't have any lasers.
Have any
we
lasers.
Don't have shooters, right? We don't have any lasers on this team.
Yeah. By the way, interruption.
Yeah.
Touchdown, Derrick Henry.
God, I hate the fact that you are ahead of me. Hey, touchdown, Derrick Henry.
Are you? Am I ahead of you? You're always ahead of me on Amazon.
32 seconds to go. I think I accidentally.
Oh, I'm way behind. He's already on the sideline for me.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah. They're about to kick the extra point. Are you kicking the extra point yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. You got me today. So the thing is, though, is we never hear a guy call out his team by name. Like, you don't hear LeBron say, look, guys, here's the thing. Anthony Davis is not the player he was a couple of years ago. Obviously, Russ hasn't fit into our system. Lonnie Walker is a young guy, and he's an athletic guy, but come on, he's not really that good. You know, I mean, you don't hear a player call out his teammates by name.
But you know what I think? I mean, remember, Kevin Durant wanted a trade. I still think if you put him on Truth Serum, he still wants a trade. And how do you get a trade? By being, a little extra is what I would say.
Well,
remember when Jimmy Butler went out there and was killing Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, and the story goes that he took the third teamers in practice and whooped their ass with Wiggins and Kat on the other side, and then Wynn did an interview with Rachel Nichols right afterwards. Like, it was just insane. So maybe that's I don't think Durant's doing the exact playbook, but maybe Durant still wants a deal. I don't know. I'm just speculating at this point.
I would agree. No, but I would agree with you. If I were Kevin Durant, I'd want out of Brooklyn now more than I did in the offseason, because in the offseason, at least you thought Kyrie was going to come back and he was going to play.
Right.
And Kyrie, if it wasn't last year dealing with the booster or in just the shot itself, last year, that was his reason for not playing. This year, it's because of the things that he does on social media and then the boxes that the NBA requires him to check. And he don't want to check those boxes because he don't want to play. So if you're Kevin Durant, you're probably like, dude, I don't have Kyrie. The coach I originally wanted, we fired that guy. Look at these stiffs that I'm playing with. I want out of here. Well, I kind of agree. Yeah, I mean, look, I think he wants out.
Ramon tweeted this to us in the Circle of Trust. KD wrong, though? Kobe felt the same way when he had Smush and Kwame. 100%.
Yeah, but he didn't say it out loud like
that. Oh, no.
That.
I mean, dude, he got caught on a video like saying that he would. What do you mean we're not going to trade Andrew Bleepin' Bynum for Jason Kidd? What the hell are we doing? You know, right. Like.
But that was getting caught.
I mean, no, but he kind of. He definitely, like went at. Like lamented the whole thing with Kwame and Smush. And by the way, there's that famous interview he did on Jimmy Kimmel where those guys, Carlos Boozer and Jeremy Lin and Swaggy P and all those guys. Thanks, Christopher. Lindsay, you take it away.
Thanks, Sedano. Hold on, I got to find my tab here. There we go. There's my tab.
Tabbing right. It.
So I sent this to you guys in our group chat, I think either last night or today. And we need to talk about this because the World Cup in Qatar, right?
Qatar.
How are you saying it? Qatar.
Qatar.
I watched the Netflix documentary on it, and everybody said it differently, which is it had me even more confused. But anyway,
yeah.
World Cup starts this weekend, and fans are starting to arrive on site, and they are far from satisfied with the accommodations and the food, to say the least. They've expressed their extreme disappointment, posting videos and photos on social media comparing the poor arrangement to the infamous Fyre Festival, which we all remember that was just those crazy basic white tents with nothing but a mattress inside, and then, you know, like the little Dixie cup bowl with nothing but a bunch of lettuce in it, calling it a salad. Well, that's exactly what it looks like in Qatar. In one clip, a fan revealed the housing situation, which was rows of standard white tents lined up on pavement, complete with twin mattresses and nothing else. Other pics showed rows of shipping containers, similarly furnished, with basically nothing inside. So, this doesn't sound like it's going so well, at least to start off. Is that a big deal or no deal, Cappy?
I'm going to say it's a big deal, just because... you know, remember, they moved the World Cup from the summertime to this time of the year so that things could cool down in Qatar. Whatever. But you are going to see a lot of people from around the world going there, and this is their first exposure to the place, and they're going to have, you know, really negative thoughts on where they're at. So I don't know if it's going to be great for tourism after the World Cup is over. I haven't seen all these things. I know you sent that thing last night, but I haven't seen all these tents and boxes. I mean, they don't have hotels to accommodate everybody?
So they do, but they didn't have enough. Like, they didn't have, you know, it's like the Olympics. I think it brings just as many, or I don't know, numbers-wise. I could be completely ignorant on that. But it brings in a lot of people. So it's just like the Olympics, where they have to have an entire huge infrastructure with all these hotels and, you know, accommodations, stadiums, places to play, and they had to build basically all of this, and it cost something like $150 billion just to build what they have, and this is the accommodations they have for the fans, for a lot of them at least. Sedano, big deal?
Yeah,
big deal?
I mean, this thing is a disaster. It's a mess. Like, I've seen all the videos. Like, there's really no other way to describe this. This is, like, not at all what people expected there. I don't know what people expected, but this was certainly not it.
You know, it's like you think of that area of the country as like a very big, rich, prominent, lavish, luxurious area, at least as far as like the hotels and stuff go. So,
right. For tourists, not for people that live there, though.
Right. Exactly. But you'd think that, you know, if you're going to be spending all that money to go over there, you know, watch the World Cup. And the other thing, too, is did you guys hear the alcohol situation?
No. What is it?
So
they don't have
alcohol is banned, but they're making a special exception for this, but they're not allowing like any on-site signage and they're not serving it in the actual arenas or the stadiums. So you have to walk like a couple football fields outside and they're charging like $20 a beer because it's banned.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, nothing
I hope
goes
the money
better.
Worked out well for the World Cup.
Yeah, nothing goes better with football than alcohol. Yeah. So, good
by the way, breaking news: Kawhi Leonard will start tonight.
Oh, cool!
That might actually make me watch that game.
I was just gonna say I have to watch that game instead of the crappy football game. Speaking of football, the Philadelphia Eagles are not messing around because just one day after they signed defensive tackle Linville Joseph, they've reportedly signed another beefy defensive tackle, none other than Ndamukong Suh, to a 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. So. Besides the getting into all his accolades and everything, do you guys think that this is a big deal or no deal?
I'll say it's a big deal for this reason. This is a great time of year if you are a team that believes you can win a Super Bowl to start stockpiling linemen, specifically defensive linemen, which are hard to come by, if Ndamukong Suh is an available free agent and you can get him to bolster your defensive line, and by the way, you don't need him to play every down, I think it's a great move for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think they did a great job of putting those guys out there. Like, why? I mean, those guys can both play. So, yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer to me if you can get those guys to play. And, look, we were just talking about my fantasy team, as ridiculous as that sounds. But if you got a window, you got to go for it, right? And they're going for it.
But I have a question. Ndamukong Suh was signed as a free agent. Why is it November whatever, November 17th, and he is just now getting signed as a free agent? Like, why wasn't he signed sooner?
Here's my guess. Because Ndamukong Suh probably didn't want to play. And he's like, I don't want to go to training camp, and I don't want to play the first half of the season. I'd prefer to play the second half of the season and then go to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to wait until I find who's really a contender, and then I'm going to have my agent call him, and then I'm going to see if they need my services.
Yep, 100%.
I just remember hearing so many teams that were like rumored to be signing him, and it's like, what is wrong here? What is wrong that, you know, he still doesn't have a team? But, yeah, I guess that makes sense, Cappy. All right, last one here as I click along here. Okay, so this week is already off to a flying start with this whole UCLA-USC rivalry coming up, right? Well, UCLA safety Mo Ostling III was asked about last year's USC-UCLA game, and if that's going to motivate every Trojan to, like, you know, come and bring it this year. And you know what he's had to say about that?
What?
He said... And the suspense is killing me here.
Yeah.
Sorry. My computer always crashes, like, whenever I do one of these segments. Okay, so he was asked about it, and he said, quote, "We know we're going to replicate it next week, so we're going to have a little bit of fire underneath our butts. We're going to go out there and put it on display." So he thinks that they're going to kick USC's butts. What do you guys think about that?
Big deal or no deal? Who said
that? It was UCLA safety Mo Ostling III.
Got it. Well, it's a big talk from a team that just lost at home to Arizona, right? I mean, dude, you have an opportunity to have a really magical, special season. UCLA football had become relevant again through the first, whatever it is, 8 or 9 games of this season. And to drop a game to a sub-500 Arizona team in the week before the USC game... So it's great to talk all that smack, but now you got to go back it up. I got USC. I got USC winning big.
No, I don't. I think that this is going to be a really tight game. And I if I had to go in one direction, I'd probably lean UCLA.
What's the line again?
2.5.
It's 2.5, yeah.
USC is a 2.5 point favorite. But and I think what will save USC is that they have the better quarterback. I mean, I think Caleb Williams might be the best quarterback in the country, you know, so... But the Travis Dye thing, I don't think that's a small thing. That's just me personally. So, we'll see.
Well, I'd love to see USC win last year. I don't know.
I want USC to win because I want...
Well, UCLA won last year. They smoked them.
Yeah, they crushed them. They destroyed them.
Like, by a lot. It was like 60-something, right? 63-25,
I think. Total destruction.
I want USC to win because I want us to be able to continue talking about them possibly getting into the college football playoff.
Listen, Laura, I can hear Laura making noises.
I want USC Ohio State. By the way, Sedano, the college football playoff championship is actually being played at SoFi Stadium.
I know.
I thought you said the other day it was with the Fiesta Bowl.
No, I said that the semifinal was the Fiesta Bowl if they played Ohio State.
But we're all going to go to the college football playoff if it's USC Ohio State.
But right now they would play in. Well, right now they wouldn't even play because USC is what, 6 or 7? So, yeah.
And plus, hey, Ohio State still has to play Michigan.
Right. Michigan stinks. Okay, Ohio State owns them.
Oh, there we go. There's the Ohio person right there.
10-0 right now.
Damn, girl.
They're 10-0, but look at their schedule. Michigan stinks. Jim Harbaugh stinks. They're nothing.
Wow. They're nothing.
They're nothing.
You're a little nothing. You're
Ohio
a little
State
nothing nobody, Jim Harbaugh. You're nothing.
Michigan, you're nothing.
You're nobody. Didn't Michigan beat Ohio State last year?
Yeah, they did last year because Ohio State was just like, oh, yeah, we got this. No big deal. And they totally overlooked it.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's wrong.
Yeah, it is.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Big girls, they don't cry.
They don't cry. They don't cry.
You ever see the show Jersey Boys?
No, I haven't, but I'm familiar with it.
See the movie?
I haven't, but I'm familiar with it.
The Broadway show's much better than the movie was, but it's a great show. And if you like Frankie, if you like Frankie Valli songs, pretty damn good.
Yeah?
Yeah, really good.
Okay. I believe you.
They had a long stay in Vegas. I want to say at the Palazzo, but I had seen him.
I love the Palazzo.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Enrico Palazzo.
Yeah, I'd seen him. I'd seen this show a couple times, but it's a great show. Movie?
All right.
Broadway show. Fire.
Okay.
Big difference.
Okie dokie. Cappy, you see what Kyle Kuzma said?
I did see what Kyle Kuzma said. I'm going to be curious to hear what this whole crew thinks about that, because this kind of goes back to something I said a couple weeks ago, that everybody, no, you're wrong, you don't know what you're talking about, you're
no,
dumb.
No, it's different. He said it's tough being a role player with the Lakers, which I would agree with.
Everybody around LeBron is a role player.
No, that's not true. Stop that. You always deduce this to like the most simplistic thing, and it's not that.
All
life
I'm saying
is nuanced.
He's the centerpiece of a team. That's all.
Cap.
He's not.
Sure, but there's still other guys who are almost equally important to him. Like Anthony Davis was the biggest reason they won that championship in 2020. What are you talking about?
Okay, I'll go with that. I'm just saying LeBron is the centerpiece. Now, Kyle Kuzma.
I mean, listen, when LeBron, we were talking about that Dallas Mavericks series earlier, which, by the way, it feels like, you know, I know LeBron was in Space Jams and the Monstars stole his, stole people's powers or whatever. That's what it felt like watching LeBron that series. I mean, Dwayne Wade would have been a finals MVP. He was going like 30-something a game in that series.
Why didn't he win the finals MVP?
Because they lost.
Well,
Won?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the way you were just describing it is like, you know, he's so great, you know.
No, but I'm saying Dwayne Wade would have won finals MVP, but LeBron played so poorly in that series that they didn't win.
Well, listen, Kyle Kuzma, though, when he was with the Lakers, I don't know about everybody else, he just, as an observer, just rubbed me wrong, because I felt like what I was receiving from him was, I should be more on this team than they're allowing me to be. I should be a leading scorer kind of guy. I'm a talent that should be a one or a two here. And instead, I'm kind of a six or a seven here. And I always felt like he kind of looked at LeBron as in, why am I taking a back seat to you? And that's my impression of what Kyle Kuzma was when he was with the Lakers. And that's why I think he's still talking about this.
Yeah, I'm sure he felt that way.
Well, he was also asked specifically about it, in fairness.
Right. Well, I'm not saying he's walking around, you know, just spewing this. I'm saying that somebody asked him about his time with the Lakers, and his answer is, it's kind of hard to be a role player on a team like that.
Well, we should play it, because I feel like it adds a lot of context.
Oh, let's hear it.
Go for it.
Things are definitely drastically different over there, for sure. Definitely.
Different in what way?
They got a lot going on, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, when you're playing in the big market, you're playing in L.A., you're always going to have a lot of drama, right? And then you're playing with one of the all-time greats as LeBron, it's going to add even more drama. And you have to fight through it. You have to be strong-minded. When you're a role player, you have to be ready for that moment. And sometimes it's tough. There's a lot of outside noise. And playing in those type of markets, you know, it definitely touches your mental toughness, and it challenges it too. So.
What did it add? What did it add to it?
I feel like it adds some context where he's not just like dissing the Lakers. He's like trying to explain to you that it's not just this Lakers team. It's like everything that comes along with it, and playing in, like you said, playing in that market. There's a lot of pressure.
That's what Kobe said all the time. It's not easy being a Laker.
Yeah, but I mean, playing in a big market means that there's a lot of drama. And then playing on LeBron's team, there's even more drama. I mean, that's what he said.
He's not wrong.
Right, why? All those are accurate.
Yeah, but I mean, but what's the drama? Like, why is
are
there more drama?
With the Lakers? Yeah. Historically? Like, no, are you big, serious
no,
with
no,
that?
Hold,
they just
hold
did
on,
a whole 10-episode thing about it that you
hold
didn't finish.
On, hold on. Hold on. Relax. Don't get crazy yet. Big market. Forget Lakers. Big market. Why is there more drama in the big market.
More news coverage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bigger expectations because there's more fans.
Bigger exposure.
Yep. Correct.
Okay, so just asking here. So there's a lot more drama in L.A. There's a lot more drama. Would you say there's more drama
Hollywood
in San Francisco?
Town.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. More drama in Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah, there has been when they're worthwhile.
Most,
yeah.
The Lakers have the most drama, I think, than any other team.
Yeah,
correct.
But that's what I'm getting at, is that it really, to me...
But it's a historic thing. It's not just a LeBron thing.
Right, but it's also not a big market thing, per se. It's a Laker thing.
Well, no, he's right, though, about big market thing. I think what he means by big market thing is, the Knicks are always, that thing is always, like, sideways. Look what's happening in Brooklyn. We just talked about Draymond for, like, months, it feels like, or whatever. Like, yeah.
Star-driven team. Star-driven team. Star-driven town, right?
I don't understand what you're objecting to, is my point.
Well, all I'm saying is that what I hear him saying is, playing for the Lakers and playing with LeBron, there's a lot of drama that goes on. That's all. And listen, is he right? Is he wrong? What's he talking about when he says, do you know what I'm saying? My answer would be like, no, I don't. Can you explain it a little bit more?
Well, she did ask him that.
So, who's she? Who's the interview
doing? That was Malika Andrews.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, there you go. I mean, listen, I agree. It's got to be very tough to be a role player on a team like that. But he always thought he was better than he was.
Yeah, you're right. And now he's on a team that's like, 500-ish, and he's good on that team.
Well, good for him. I hope he's having a great time.
But, the Lakers are also now bad, so there's that part of the
equation. Well, and I'm sure he's loving that.
He might.
I'm sure he's loving it. Like, look at this team. If they would have kept me, look how much better they'd be if I were still on this team.
Are you doing the McDonald's thing? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it.
Yeah, he is loving it.
Do you think that's really what he meant by saying that? Because that's a pretty, coded statement there, Kefi. That's kind of a stretch.
Is it?
But that by him...
It's kind of like when I tried to stretch you out at Bastards Camp.
By the way, did you see the picture that was posted today of you stretching me out? That was an awesome picture.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to say, George, I thought I was going to blow out a hamstring at that point, and I almost blew out a quad as well, even though we were really trying to stretch hamsters. That was a great picture.
Yeah.
Shows a lot of flexibility, shows a lot of teamwork, I mean, that's teamwork right there. I'll stretch you out before you twerk.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, pal.
Didn't work out so well, though.
Listen, Clinton Yates came on yesterday and said, from a pure twerking perspective, he didn't know the results. He thought I won.
Okay.
And I've gone back and studied the film, and Mason got down on all fours, but he really didn't do any moving while he was down there.
I agree with the sentiment of the Twitter community that said nobody won.
Fair. I would agree. All right, we're done here.
Really
we got to go.
With that.
We got to go. Cappy, great job. I'll talk to you tomorrow from Portland.
Yes, sir. See you then.
Lindsay, great job. Laura, great job. What's coming up next, Laura? Rams All Access. And then Bet LA after that with Anita. See ya.